Oh yeah, finally awake. We're maybe you're finally awake, and maybe you're not. I don't know. And we're gonna talk about that. Reflections in the Dark, Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund, flying solo tonight. Joe's a little under the weather because of all the snow that they have up in the Northeast. Joe, we don't have any snow here. If you're listening, I want to encourage you. Someday soon, it'll be 80 degrees there like it was today. Oh, I know. I shouldn't be doing that. He doesn't feel well. It's been snowing and it's been cold. And that's why I don't live there. But get well. Everybody say, get well, Joe. Get better, Joe. Send him an email. Send him some hot soup. Send him some pictures of palm trees and sunshine. No, I'll do that. I'll take care of that part. I'll send him a picture from the pool tomorrow. Glad you could be here with us. Hopefully you are. Reflections in the Dark every Sunday night, 7 p.m. This is where we are right now. We're planning on making a move, but we've had some interference and some complications with times and schedules and things like that. So for now, we're here. Hopefully it all works out. Hopefully we stay on the air. What I may talk about tonight, we may be gone. You know, we just may be put into the twilight zone. But thank you for those of you that support Firefall Talk Radio. You help us stay on the air, do what we do, moving on to bigger and better things, hopefully in the future. But you know, we are greatly appreciative of that. So I'm here alone. I feel so abandoned. I don't. You know what I feel like? I thought about this. I feel like the kid on Home Alone. Everybody's gone. I can say and do whatever I want. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say and do whatever I want. Tonight we are filtering the static through the Reflections in the Dark filter. Anytime you see RITD, it stands for Reflections in the Dark. So we're gonna run something through the filter. This has been a crazy week. A lot of things happened this week. Christians were burned, beheaded, and slaughtered worldwide, while society argued about the color of a dress. Is it gold and white? Is it blue and black? Who cares? It's a dress. And now you've made some people who made that dress and sell that dress very, very popular and wealthy. And while all that was going on, beside ignoring the bloodshed, we ignored two power grabs. One was the banning of an ammunition for the AR-15 rifle, which if you can't ban the gun, just ban the ammunition. But the other one was something that should concern you. I've been watching it. I really didn't think it was going to happen this quickly, but it has. If you're like me and you watch the signs of the times and you watch prophecy, you're seeing things escalate. What was very methodically moving towards a final conclusion over the last year, especially over the last 6 months, has sped up. And I believe, like a rock going downhill, we're going to keep speeding up and we're going to keep rolling, and it's going to get faster as the weight of this begins to go, and as the supernatural forces behind it help push the rock along until where we reach early October, Feast of Tabernacles, end of the Shemitah year, blood moon, the whole bit. We're going to see things happen. We might see things happen this week. Netanyahu is coming in from Israel to speak to Congress about the threat of Iran having nuclear power and nuclear weapons. There's people that are saying they're going to boycott him, they're going to protest him, and it could get ugly. I expect that it will. I would hope that if it does, you people find your prayer closet and get on your knees, because things are going to get shaken very quickly. But here's what happened this week that just kind of went by the wayside. And let me read to you from the Wall Street Journal. February 26, 2015. Welcome to ObamaNet. The FCC snatches political control over more of the economy. This is the Wall Street Journal. The Federal Communications Commission's decision Thursday to regulate the internet as a public utility is a depressing moment for American innovation and economic liberty. The FCC is grabbing political control over a vibrant market that has until now been driven by inventors and consumers. Welcome to the ObamaNet. So basically what happened back in 2010, the discussion began for regulating the internet under the guise that your internet service providers, AT&T, Verizon, Comcast, people like that, were going to charge you more for faster speeds, and they were going to make it more difficult for you, and that these giant megaliths of business, these monuments of economic power, were going to control and shut down free speech. And to do that, the government would have to come in and rescue it and keep that from happening by passing something called net neutrality. Well, they argued for the last 5 years, went back and forth. A compromise was made with the big networks. And then at the last minute, the head of the FCC switched his alliance, and the five members of the judging panel, three Democrats, two Republicans, swung it towards an outright government control of the internet. So the FCC's proposed net neutrality are regulations that grew out of the works of a socialist professor named Dr. Robert McChesney of the University of Illinois, who wants to take control of the internet out of private hands by declaring it a public utility. So here's what happened. In 2002, Dr. McChesney, he found a socialist think tank called the Free Press. Interesting name, Free Press. And he receives funding from billionaire activist George Soros. Remember that name. Direct quote from Dr. McChesney during an interview in 2009, 7 years after the founding of Free Press. This is what he said. At the moment, the battle over network neutrality is not to completely eliminate the telephone and cable companies, but the ultimate goal is to get rid of the media capitalists in the phone and cable companies and to divest them from control. Now, if you've been listening over the last couple of weeks and we talked about the mind games, you will realize how ridiculous an opinion that is, or it's a cover for something else. So just bear with me here. So net neutrality becomes a reality. The FCC votes to bring the internet under the utility style rules, kind of like they did with television. Under President Kennedy, the golden age of television went from being creative and vibrant to becoming under the control of the FCC, and everything changed. So the FCC decides to apply the same rules that govern telephone service to broadband. Now you may say, what's wrong with that? Well, you'll see in a second. And claiming that it was to ensure fair and equal treatment of all traffic on the internet. Ron Paul, former congressman, no longer, he's retired, ran for president in 2008. Here's what he said. Today, the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, a non-elected federal government agency, also ran in 2012, but dropped out pretty quickly. Now listen to what I just said. The Federal Communications Commission, a non-elected federal government, voted 3-2 to reclassify broadband internet as a common carrier service under the Title II of the Communications Act, a very old Communications Act. This means that without the vote of Congress, the people's branch of government, a federal agency now claims the power to regulate the internet. Ron Paul goes on to say, I'm surprised that even among civil liberties groups, some claim the federal government increasing regulation of the internet somehow increases our freedom and liberty. The truth is very different. The adoption of these FCC rules on the internet represents the largest regulatory power grab in recent history. The FCC's newly adopted rule takes the most dynamic means of communication and imposes the regulatory structure designed for public utilities. Federal regulation could also open the door to de facto censorship of ideas perceived as threatening to the political class. Ideas like the troops should be brought home, the Patriot Act should be repealed, military spending and corporate welfare should be cut, and the Federal Reserve should be audited and ended. And of course, we know those to all be hot buttons for Ron Paul. The one bright spot in this otherwise disastrous move is that the federal regulations make it more difficult to use the internet. Making it more difficult to use the internet will cause more Americans to join our movement for liberty, peace, and prosperity. Bit naive, Dr. Paul. The federal government should keep its hands off of the internet. Obama and the federal government, he goes on to say, have bent over backwards to portray net neutrality as a win for the little guy. Yeah, when has anybody ever cared about the little guy? In fact, despite all the siren warnings about socialism and the FCC by Obama opponents, the agency is in the pocket of the telecommunications industry and always has been. And there's the kicker. Its current appointed boss, Tom Wheeler, is a former lobbyist for the cable and wireless industry with positions including National Cable and Telecommunications Association and CEO of the Cellular Telecommunications and Internet Association. Net neutrality is a classic Trojan horse. It will be used not only to censor speech and to marginalize opposition to the political class, but will also deliver the internet to large and forever consolidating media corporations. The very thing that they're saying they're doing this for is exactly the opposite. What's really interesting, the majority of the American people oppose the president's plan to regulate the internet and supports a much more transparent FCC. The survey was conducted over the weekend by Hart Research Associates, which is a leading Democratic polling firm. And they polled Americans, and by a wide margin, a Democratic polling firm found that Americans opposed the plan to regulate the internet. Moreover, they overwhelmingly believe that the FCC should make the plan available to the public before any vote. This was another one of those, hey, we need to pass it to know what's in it. You know, I'm sorry. Politics has become a joke. It has become a comedy routine. I keep expecting in the middle of one of these political press conferences for the Marx Brothers to walk out or the Three Stooges to take over. Well, wait, maybe we've already seen that. I'm sorry, forget that. But here's what the findings of the poll were. 56% of Americans do not believe that the government should take a stronger and more active role in overseeing and regulating the internet. Only 33% favor such government action. 53% of Americans believe it would be harmful for the FCC to do what President Obama has requested and regulate the internet, asking the same authority it has used to regulate phone service. Only 32% believe that taking that step would be helpful. 79% of Americans believe that the exact wording and the details of the plan to regulate the internet should be made public before the FCC votes on it. Only 13% of Americans oppose making the plan's exact language public prior to the vote. And those 13% are members of Congress and the House. And only 9% of Americans believe that the FCC should pass Let me say that again. Only 9% of Americans believe that the FCC should pass the proposed regulations as they currently stand. 85% support either delaying the vote until the full plan is made public or oppose any new regulations. So I guess what that says is they really don't care what we think. And this is not a skewered poll. This was a Democratic polling firm. So the FCC commissioner, Ajit Pai, reacted to the results, stating, President Obama's 332-page plan, yes, 332-page plan to regulate the internet has awakened a sleeping giant. Over the last 2 weeks, it has become clear that the American people want the federal government to keep its hands off of the internet. Americans also want to see the plan before any vote. Unfortunately, the FCC has steadfastly refused to inform the public because it knows that the more the American people find out about the President Obama's plan, the less they like it. 332 pages of legal, political gibberish and we don't get to see it. So we really don't know what law got put into place. We really have no idea on February 26th what really happened to the internet, but we kind of do have an idea. So we don't release 332 pages. They vote on it. And according to Commissioner Pai, the regulations will give, quote, the FCC the power to micromanage virtually every aspect of how the internet works. Now, we're listening on the internet. I'm broadcasting on the internet. Most of us spend many of our hours on the internet. So what does all this mean? I know I've probably put some of you to sleep. I can hear the snoring. But folks, wake up. Wake up. See, advocates of this will tell you that this is what net neutrality is. Let me get my hippy-dippy weatherman voice. Net neutrality is the internet's guiding principle. It preserves our right to communicate freely online. This is the definition of an open internet. Net neutrality means an internet that enables and protects free speech. It means, man, that internet service providers should provide us with open networks. It should not block or discriminate against any applications or content that rides over those networks. Just as your phone company shouldn't decide who you can call and what you say on that call, your ISP shouldn't be concerned with the content you view or post online. Yeah, I'm sure pedophiles everywhere like that part. What's really amazing is that taking governmental control of communication is number 6 on Karl Marx's 10 points on how to convert a society to socialism. Taking control of the communications apparatus is one of the first things that Hitler did when he came to power in Nazi Germany. I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying it's an amazing coincidence. It would also give the FCC and governmental influence over conservative media outlets like Fox News and otherwise, who denounce them and stand against them, declaring that under the so-called fairness doctrine, any expression of hostility would cause them to use regulations to shape and limit that hostility, especially if it was deemed that the expression of free speech by these conservative outlets created an atmosphere of fear or would make them not want to talk. I wonder how that's going to work out. Back in the 90s, what's really interesting is President Clinton, who happened to be a Democrat and leaned the liberal direction politically, in the 90s, the Clinton administration actually teamed with internet pioneers to promote a hands-off approach to the new industry and to keep it from discriminatory taxation. and many in the industry still prefer that policy. The founder of the MIT Media Lab and the charity One Laptop per Child, Nicholas Negroponte, says, quote, net neutrality doesn't make sense because the truth is not all of the bits of data are created equal. Basically, what they did is they created rules and regulations and the ability to fence something in that didn't need it. Will Marshall is the head of the Progressive Policy Institute, also one of Clinton Democrats' favorite banks, issued a statement that net neutrality endorses a backward-looking policy that would apply the brakes to the most dynamic sector of America's economy. We should be concerned, folks. We should be concerned, not so much about the law, even though I think we should, the fact that the law was passed that we know nothing about. Hey, that kind of reminds me of some medical thing that went through. They passed it without reading it. So the proponents of net neutrality, the liberals, the people that part of those current think tanks, they say the telecoms have too much power. And I would agree with that. And we all would agree that monopolies are bad, bad monopolies, bad. And competition is good. And we would like to see more competition. But if monopolies are so bad, why should we trust the most largest, most powerful monopoly in the world, i.e. the U.S. government, to control the very thing that's going to control the monopolies? So basically, here's really a nutshell of the whole net neutrality thing. Basically, the same organization that spent an amount equal to Facebook's first 6 years of operating costs to build a healthcare website that doesn't work. The same organization that builds roads and bridges that keep falling down or breaking. The same organization that spends 320 times what private industry does to send a rocket into space are the ones that are going to control this internet and make it run right. I wonder how that's going to work. What do you think? So basically everything, since I've been paying attention to it, anything that has succumbed to governmental control, higher education, student loans, housing, banking, immigration, the space program, military, police, post office, yeah, there's a winner. Anything heavily regulated or controlled by our government does not do well. So we're going to say, okay, take over everything and make it run right. Nah, that's not really why you're doing this, is it? Because in a situation like this, free speech, guys like me, I don't think anybody really cares. We don't rattle enough cages. We don't attract enough. I don't think anybody cares what I say or what we do, except when we start pounding on the fallen or the demonic and they want to get us off the air. Without the freedom to do what I'm doing right now, there is no free speech. Because what will happen under these new guidelines, if I want to do a podcast, if I want to do a show like this, I'm going to have to register it. I'm going to have to fill out paperwork. And free speech and privacy will be gone. There's a man named Glenn Greenwald. He wrote a book called No Place to Hide. He also helped release Edward Snowden's papers to The Guardian. That the government, ours, China, doors into your routers. They put the ability to, through hardware, monitor internet traffic. Something called Prism. There's a documentary on HBO right now. It's a little dry, a little long. I watched it in bits and drabs called Citizen 4. And it's about the breaking of the Ed Snowden story. And there are other ones out there you can watch and things you can read if you want to read. But why would the government want control of the internet? Why would they want unfettered control of something that doesn't need it? Well, here's why. There's a program called PRISM, P-R-I-S-M. It got exposed in Snowden's reveal. It's a clandestine program that was launched in 2007, under which the NSA collects internet communications of foreign nationals from at least 9 major U.S. internet companies. It began in the wake of the passage of the Protect America Act under President Bush, and it was operated under the supervision of the U.S. Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, FISA Court, or FISC, and the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, FISA. Nobody knew anything about it until NSA contractor Ed Snowden released all the documents and warned about the extent of the mass data collection was far greater than anybody knew. He characterized it, quote, his words, not mine, dangerous and criminal activities. So The Guardian and The Washington Post on June 6, 2013 posted his disclosures. And if you don't know what Snowden is and you listen to the show, we need to have a talk, because it's been pretty common on the internet and otherwise who he is. So the NSA, Special Operations Division, and PRISM partners in millions of dollars to spy on U.S. citizens. Because if I'm spying on foreign nationals and I'm spying on potential terrorists, like the two brothers from Boston, and that did a lot of good, how do I filter out everybody else that's on this one cable, this wide open highway called the internet? According to the Washington Post, the intelligence analysts search the PRISM data using terms that identify suspicious communications of targets. And then they would suspect that at least 51% would not be U.S. citizens. How they get that, I don't know. And then they collect the data. And of course they admit, well, yeah, we're going to collect some regular people's information, but unintentionally. You know, like it's like your kid. I didn't mean to break it. It was on accident, but you broke it, and you broke it because you were careless. But I didn't mean to. But okay, you didn't mean to. I get that, but you did. Kind of the same thing. So we're collecting foreign information, we're collecting U.S. information. Nothing to worry about. Go on Skype. I got news for you. If you're doing long distance romances on social media like Skype or some of these other video conferencings, please know that it's more than likely being watched by people that you would not want to have watch it. So don't do that. Stop doing that. Stop right now. According to The Guardian, the NSA had access, here we go, to chats and emails on hotmail.com, Skype, which I just mentioned because Microsoft developed a surveillance capability to deal with the interception of chats, and for PRISM collection of Microsoft email services. So, what you say is being listened to. What you write is being read. Now, the other side of the camp would say to me, well, Richard, if I'm not doing anything wrong, what have I got to worry about? What you've got to worry about is, since nobody's watching what they're doing, how far does that go? How far does this invasion in your privacy extend to? According to The Guardian's Glenn Greenwald, even low-level NSA analysts are allowed to search and listen to the communications of Americans and other people without court approval or supervision. Low-level analysts can, via systems like PRISM, quote, according to Greenwald, listen to whatever email they want, whatever telephone calls, browsing history, Microsoft Word documents, and it's all done with no need to get a court order, with no need to get supervisor control on the part of the analysts. So what do they do? What do they look at? Well, they look at your emails. They look at your chats, both video and voice. They look at your videos. They look at your stored data. If you are using phones, voice over internet protocol, VoIP, they're listening to that. They're checking all your file transfers, any video conferencing you do with any groups of people. They are notified of any target activity or logins. online social networking details, and anything of the like. Now, when I watched the Citizen 4 documentary the other night, and I began to listen to what he was talking about, what he did for the NSA as an independent contractor, I realized that social media, while it has its purposes to stay in touch with family and friends and to promote what we do like this, probably not the smartest thing in the world. Book is an infinite information data mining gold mine where people put up everything they do, where they go at 9 p.m. I'm at the gym. I'm at Starbucks. I'm here every morning at this time. That's great. Why don't you just tell the burglar that you're not home at that time? Why don't you show pictures of your dog so they know how big or how small he is and can see the inside of your house and see what kind of an alarm system you got? Why don't you post all these pictures, private pictures up there so that you can give away all your information? Because by the way, once you post them on the internet, they no longer belong to you. Washington Post told a much deeper, darker story as we filter the static here. And I hope I'm getting your attention. I hope as you listen to these facts, which all can be found on the internet, you begin to realize how dangerous all of this is. Now, of course, I'm doing the show. It's being recorded. It's being archived. They don't have to listen to me live. They can just download it and say, hey, did he say anything subversive or do we need to knock on the door? Which is why I try to be careful about what I say. I get it. You post something on Facebook and the next thing there's a knock on your door. On Twitter, they deem it threatening or subversive or terrorist in nature. They will be at your door. And if you don't answer it promptly, they'll kick in your door. And if your dogs don't like them kicking in the door, they'll shoot your dogs. According to the Washington Post, a much less known program called Muscular, M-U-S-C-U-L-A-R, directly taps the unencrypted data inside the Google and Yahoo private clouds, which means whatever you're storing up in Google's and Yahoo's clouds, if it's not encrypted, they're tapping into it and collects more than twice as many data points compared to prison. Because the Google and Yahoo cloud spans the globe, and because this invasion, this tap, if you will, is done outside of the United States, unlike prison, the Muscular program requires no warrants. Muscular, which is categorized as DSS-200B, in case you want to know, is located in the United Kingdom. And it's a program done between the British government communications headquarters and the NSA. And they worked together. And we would never have known this had Ed Snowden not released his documents. Now, as I watched the documentary and as I read this stuff, there was something that really jumped out at me. It was something I said a couple of weeks ago during the Mind Games teaching. The Big Six. The Big Six of corporations that control everything we see, we hear, we read, we do, from television to internet to mobile to video games. Do we honestly believe that Comcast, the Walt Disney Company, the News Corporation, Time Warner, Viacom, or CBS is going to allow this without being in on it? Do you really think that these multi-mega billion-dollar companies who control the very thing we're being told will be controlled is going to allow that? The very people who pay for the political campaigns and the contributions and who do all, do we really, oh, come on, you don't really think that they're going to allow this to happen without having their hand in it, do you? Are we starting to see a shell game? Are we starting to see a bait and switch? This really isn't about ISP providers. This really isn't about free speech. This really isn't about an open internet. It's about control. Because when you hear who the man is that put the money up, to make sure that net neutrality happened, it will get your attention. Together with the far-left Ford Foundation, George Soros spent $196 million getting net neutrality passed. Yep. Left-wing reported collaborated with the Nazis when he was a young boy, teenage boy, 14, I think, billionaire socialist, George Soros, who dumped nearly $200 million of his money into net neutrality regulations over the years by funding liberal think tanks and supporting pro-net neutrality individuals, five of whom ascended to key positions at the White House and the FCC. When you have that kind of a person behind something like this, you know something is wrong. You know we should pay attention. So who is George Soros? If you've never heard of him before, look him up. Last name spelled S-O-R-O-S. He gives billions of dollars to left-wing causes with the specific intent to transform and change, i.e. even destroy America. In 2004, he spent $24 million of his own money to defeat President George W. Bush, claiming it was the central focus of my life and a matter of life and death. Of course, it failed. $24 million was chump change to him. Didn't matter. This Open Society Institute in 1993. That's how far back this goes. That's how long it takes to make a change like this. It takes a little while. He spread his wealth to progressive causes. Using Open Society as a conduit, he gave more than $7 billion. Let me say that again. He gave more than $7 billion to the who's who of left-wing groups. And let's look at some of the recipients of his money to transform and change the way we do things. Acorn, yes, them. The Apollo Alliance, the National Council of La Raza, Tides Foundation, the Huffington Post, Southern Poverty Law Center, Sojourners, People for the American Way, Planned Parenthood, and the National Organization for Women. He emerged as the star in politics in 2004, as I said, when he put down $24 million of his own money to defeat George Bush. Didn't work, and then so what he did was this. He put a chunk of money on a junior senator out of Chicago to help him get his political career started. He was a significant financial supporter of Barack Obama. This man, I don't know him personally. I've seen him interviewed. He's arrogant, as most billionaires would be. He's been married a number of times, as most men with egos like that do. You can just look in his eyes, and I'll leave it there. If the eyes are the windows to the soul, looking in those windows tells you a lot. He helped bankroll many of the demonstrations in Eastern Europe and Central Asia. Yes, he did. He helped the Ukrainian situation happen and admitted it in an interview with CNN's Fareed Zakaria that he ultimately contributed to the overthrow of the country's elected leader and the installation of a junta handpicked by the State Department. Quote, this is George Soros speaking. I set up a foundation in Ukraine before Ukraine became independent of Russia, and the foundation has been functioning ever since and played an important part in the events now. Essentially, he has financially had his hand in reshaping governments, societies, and now the internet. So, here's why I thought I'd cover this tonight. I thought it was important to know. But since this is what we do, we meet here on the internet. We communicate on the internet. We have Bible studies on the internet. We probably say things, and I know I've said many things tonight, that if we hear a knock on the door in the background, you'll know who it is. We've joked about the powers that be and the fallen not liking what we say and do, both on Wednesday nights on the porch and here on Sunday nights on Reflections in the Dark. But it's no longer a joke, folks. And we have got to decide what side we're on. I'm honest to you when I say if I could get off social media, and I still may, if I could figure out a way to do what I do and reach out to you without having to do it this way, I might. Just simply because I don't feel threatened and all that, but I just don't like playing on a field where somebody else makes the rules and can change those rules at any time. But we continue to do. We cover everything that we can on here to share with you and to keep you informed. But when will we as a society wake up? If you think the church is going to wake up, if you think the people you sit in the pew with in a congregation or a synagogue, if you think they're going to wake up, if you think America collectively is going to come together like Ron Paul said and awaken a sleeping giant. I'm sorry, that giant is snoring. I mean, it's really snoring, and I don't think anything's going to wake it up. I think we're so far down the rabbit hole that the best we could do is stay awake and alert and figure out how we're going to survive what's coming. I know that's negative. I know that you may not want to hear it. I'm not going to tickle your ears. I'm not going to tell you everything's okay when it's not. I see what's going on in the demonic realm. I see what's going on out there. I see how people are being attacked. I see how people are being afflicted. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, hey, everything's okay. It's all roses and sunshine. It's not. They're there. There are days of sunshine like we had today. And there are days that you can smell the flowers, but you better have one eye over your shoulder because you have no idea what's coming. So how does this affect you? Who's behind it? I think we covered some of that. There's a whole lot more to it. Do your own homework if you want to know. Or just take what I gave you and apply it. Don't post crazy things on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Don't go on rants. I see people do some things where I cringe and go, really? You're just inviting. You're inviting trouble. Wise as serpent, meek as dove. Be careful. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. Make sure your intent and the heart behind it is right. Because if you don't, you're going to open a door literally to the demonic and to the enemy. Filtering through the static means getting on the right signal, getting on the right station. If you got static in your signal, something's wrong. Be careful who you listen to. If this isn't what you want to hear or you don't agree with me, don't listen. If anything I say doesn't line up with what you believe or line up with the word, or if at any time you think it violates any part of your core values, don't listen. Stop listening to these shows where you go, well, you know, the majority of what they say I don't agree with, but every now and then I get a good point. Really? Why would you do that? Why would you subject yourself to that? Maybe you just want to have fun. Maybe you just want to have, you know, somebody joke around and do all that. I don't know. I don't have time for that. I'm not getting paid to do this. I was thinking today, it's almost 5 years, and if we were a sci-fi TV show, we would be about canceled because sci-fi only goes 5 years on its contracts because of the pay. And then I went, hey, we're not getting paid, so we can keep going. So I'm not doing this for the money. Joe's not doing it for the money. We get together with you. We like hanging out together. We like sharing with you and enlightening you. I have to measure my words there. Whoops, I'm going to grab my tongue. Let me be careful. We care about you. That's why we do this. We want to wake you up. That's why we do this. So that when the proverbial stuff hits the fan, you're not shocked. You're not unprepared. You're not distracted by all the carnival lights and the Ferris wheels of prophecy and all the things going on out there and all the things that have no value in the grand scheme of things. Hopefully, the couple of hundreds of you that have been consistent with us when those things happen, you'll be ready. You'll be prepared. You'll know what to say, what to do, how to handle yourself, all those things. You won't be caught up in craziness. There's no time for that. Even on the Bible studies, if you listen, there's no time to be distracted. There's no time to go down rabbit holes. There's no time to have your ears tickled. It's life and death. You look at what happened this week and what's about to happen when Netanyahu comes in and all the things going on out there politically and all the things happening in the Middle East. And oh, by the way, you notice nobody talks about Ebola anymore, even though there's still people dying from it. As you look at the media and realize how the powers that be control what you see and what you hear and what you're thinking about, that every day you go on news, Google News, wherever you get your news, and you see what the trending stories are. I always like to look and see what's trending. And it's almost always about the Kardashians or Justin Bieber or some nonsense. And other things just go under the radar. They're just under the radar. White, gold, blue, what colors are stressed? That's the majority of the internet over the last week. And all this other stuff. Nobody cared about the color of the blood that ran in the Middle East of one blogger who stood up against ISIS and who went to some outdoor event and they hacked him to death in front of his wife. Or all the horrible things that are going on out there. I don't know. I got to be honest with you. I'm at a loss sometimes. I really am. All the static, all the stories, all the things. You just want to, let's get back to basics. What are the basics? Well, the basics spiritually are the cross, the empty tomb, the upper room. Basics. Go out, share the gospel, get everybody saved, healed, and delivered. The king comes back. Game over. We win. That's the basics. That's really all that matters. All this other stuff is nonsense. Because if you go back to the Matthew 24, Luke 21. I wasn't prepared. I'm going here. My brain is spinning. It's always, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And the message and the warnings are never good. Hey, it's going to be a really sunny day. Great weather when I come back. No, it's going to be really bad. Things are going to be really bad. Are we seeing really bad? Yeah, we're getting there. Signs in the heavens, bizarre creatures suddenly rising up out of the ocean or being found under underground cities nobody knew was there, or just time and the flood being confirmed, prophecy being confirmed, all pointing to the return of the king, which is not going to be a good moment in history for the rest of the world. For us, it's good. Net neutrality, not good. Not good because the entity that's controlling it is not something that should be controlling it. There's no transparency. We have no clue how far this goes. And we will, over the next 2 years, before the next election, we will. And if you think the next person in there is going to change anything, he won't. Otherwise, he won't win. But I'm about out there, folks. We're going to end a little early. I'm not going to drag this out. I hope I got your attention. I hope you understand the seriousness of what took place this week. Do something about it. Talk to your children. Talk to your loved ones. Don't beat them over the head. Don't scare them. But begin to discuss things, hoping that the light bulb goes off in their head. Let them listen to some of these shows. They're free. They can download them. They're always here, archived. Almost 5 years worth of shows right here on Blog Talk. If I said anything you didn't agree with, if I said anything you want more information on, go to supernaturalresponse.net or firefalltalkradio.com. Use the contact button and let me know. If you have questions or things that you'd like us to cover in the weeks ahead, let us know. We're trying to collect enough questions that we can do them all at the same time. We've got a couple, but not enough to use one show to do it. So write us, share with us. If you want to support this, this is great. A couple of weeks ago, over the last couple of weeks, I have offered the opportunity for a Supernatural Explanations event, a C conference where we come in and kind of combine the porch and reflections in the dark. We do a Friday night praise and worship concert with some word, all day teaching on Saturday of the supernatural, the paranormal, the prophetic, and then depending upon times and schedules, maybe a fellowship on Sunday morning, but definitely a Friday night and all day Saturday where we can spend some time together. If that interests you, you write us, you let us know. Flying solo tonight. Keep Joe in your prayers. He wants to feel good. I get it. Bad. Doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel good to have a cold. Doesn't feel good to be beat up and run down. We'll be back next week. Hopefully Joe will be better. We'll be here. We'll be sharing more stuff, rattling some more cages, doing what we do. Darkness is as dark as I've ever seen it before. So we're just going to amp it up. We're going to make it as bright as we possibly can. We're going to leave the light on. I'm Richard Grund on behalf of Joe Citrone. This has been an abbreviated edition of Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.